Our founding fathers here in this country brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Welcome, everybody, to Freedom Quest. That was Ronald Reagan many, many years ago, but I think it truly needs to be said again and again and again. Well, welcome all, and Lucha, where's my Lucha? She hasn't called in yet. Anyways, I need to profusely ask for your forgiveness. I know some of you probably looked for the show last week, and I had to cancel at the last minute. Had some personal stuff that just came up, and man, I hated to do it to everybody, and there wasn't a lot of time to alert anybody, but please, 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 everybody forgive me for having to cancel at the last minute, and I profusely apologize. There's my Lucha. Lucha!
Hi, Eliza.
Had me worried for a minute. I was doing the show on my own. I thought you were going to penalize me. Oh, goodness.
No, there is no need for you to be penalized. I'm sure you were. You had Claire Lopez, former CIA person, and Tom Trento. You had a big, humongous day, and you had absolutely no time. It was like you wanted to. And I had to pretty much talk you out of it and say, no, take care of your business. You've got people coming in, Claire Lopez and Tom Trento, I'm sure. So it's okay. We can wait another week. It's okay.
Thank you for that. Thank you for all the patience. But, we did have a big event here with Claire and Tom, and we had a lot of fun with it. But, it was a lot of work. It really was a lot of work, and I think I'm still coming down from it. I think, I'm starting to feel depressed because now it's like it's all over with. Now what do I do?
So you actually got to meet Claire Lopez?
Oh, yeah. I've met her before, but, yes, she came in and she spoke to the community, and we had scheduled a couple of events with her and Tom and trying to get this lazy bunch of community that I live in, I'm telling you, it's so hard to get people to wake up. Maybe that's part of my depression, too. It's amazing what she has to say, and she's so organized. She's so clear. It's so evident. It's nothing but facts being presented, her and Tom both. And, of course, Tom puts a little fun spin into it, and I got to, we got to hang out with him and his team on Friday, and we just had a great time. Great time. So thank you all.
You lucky
for,
duck.
I feel very blessed. I feel very blessed.
Yes.
They are amazing people. So anyways, go ahead.
And see, I told you, Cal, Red Fox blogger in our chat room, who has a great show herself. See what she wrote in the chat room? She said, that's okay, Eliza. We love you.
Thank you. And yes, Claire
she
Lopez.
Said, did Tom plant the stuffed alligator in your room?
No, he put a chicken in her room. He put a chicken. As a rubber chicken. I don't know what the deal is with that, but she loved it. So let's welcome everybody that's in the chat room so far. Go ahead, Lucha.
Well, so far we've got you. And which is awesome. And we've got a guest, Holger Awakens, who I can't see. Holger, you're going to have to instant message me again because I can't see the names of the chat room people to call out with the thing on the screen. So let me do a chat room shout out. We've got a guest, welcome, Holger Awakens, who has, and I'm going to have to get with you guys, towards the end of the show, Holger and Kel, and whoever else has a BTR show, to write down your guys' shows and times, because I threw away my list accidentally. So Holger Awakens, who has his own show. We've got Rabbi Ariel Nachman, Red Fox blogger of IAW, Infidels Are Watching, Kel. And Robert Ryan, who likes to be called Bob. Welcome, Bob. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everybody, for joining. So, Holger, do you have your show back up yet, or are we still waiting for you to come on back? Let us know, because I have missed your Saturday nights. I know I sometimes fall asleep and start to snore, but I'll try not to. Well, you know, tonight's subject... I think some of my depression is tonight's subject. It was a subject that I was going to cover last week, and it is just a foul, foul topic, but something that I think we all need to understand and realize. I came across kind of some articles about it and just could not believe it. Well, we all know about civilization jihad, and they come in almost any fashion and any form. And the civilization jihad that I think this is all about is the normalization of Islamic behaviors such as pedophilia and homosexuality, even though they declare it's a crime. And the of course the way that they treat women, all of that is trying to be normalized. Normalization equals acceptance in cultures. The more we make it the okay thing to do and we accept those behaviors, it's another civilization jihad. At least that's the way I believe it.
Well, and we've even gone overboard in, you know, trying to curb our First Amendment so we don't offend them.
Oh, I know it.
And I'm exactly. Sorry, I'm used to speaking my mind. I'm used to saying what I want to say, when I want to say it, and how I want to say it. And no imam or no Islamic cleric is going to tell me that I can't talk about Islam or criticize Islam or criticize Muhammad, because if that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do, and try to shut me up, because it ain't going to happen.
Me either, and so far so good, because they haven't come knocking down my door yet to make me shut up, and I think they're going to get more than a handful if they decide to do that. But anyways, on a brighter note, you might say, what I have found is that the normalization started back in the 60s and 70s. Back about 1976, they started with the whole, it's okay to be homosexual. It's okay. It's just what are they calling it? A sexual orientation. It's okay because it's just normal behavior. Well, it's not. It really is not. It is not the standard way of life. It is abhorrent behavior that has started to poison the society, and it's everywhere now. It's in our schools. It's being taught to children. And when you start with any kind of abhorrent, I can't say the word, but you understand what I'm trying to say, behavior like that, then you end up with additional leanings. Pedophilia now, and the destruction of any value of human life, you start to devalue other behaviors that are considered normal. You know, life, liberty, freedoms, all of those. So all of those are under attack once you start rewriting what is normal. there were articles. There's an article I found actually was done by Fox News in January of this year. Normalizing pedophilia. Decadence is on the march. And now a defense of pedophilia is just another sexual orientation has been published in the mainstream left-wing UK newspaper, The Guardian, from, quote, pedophilia, bringing dark desires into the light, unquote. Are you kidding me? Pedophiles may be wired differently. This is radical stuff, but there is a growing conviction, notably in Canada, sorry, Kel, that pedophilia should probably be classified as a distinct sexual orientation like heterosexuality or homosexuality. Two eminent researchers testified to that effect to a Canadian parliamentary commission last year in the Harvard Mental Health letter of July 2010 stated baldly that pedophilia, quote, is a sexual orientation and therefore unlikely to change. Wow. This isn't news. We already know that those who abuse children sexually are always dangerous. That is why they must register with the police when released from prison. Understanding the causes is one thing. I'm all for it, but the effort is definitely underway to normalize the behavior. The reclassification of pedophilia as a sexual orientation would, however, play into what Good, and this is, I think, the author, calls the sexual liberation discourse, which has existed since the 1970s. There are a lot of people, she says, who say we outlawed homosexuality and we were wrong. Perhaps we're wrong about pedophilia. Are you kidding me? Well, I started trying to relate this back to Islam. Well, help me with this, because when did Islam come into the United States officially? Was the Muslim Student Association, right? When was that?
Yes.
Do you remember what year about that started here?
Wasn't it the 60s?
That's what I was thinking, like the 60s, late 60s, early 70s or something. So it all comes around. If we normalize the behaviors that are so bad in Islam, then it's easier to accept Islam.
Well, of course, they'd have us believe that Muslims discovered America, Eliza.
Yeah, they don't want to admit that they may have discovered America, but they also presented us with slavery, of which nobody seems to want to talk about. But that's a whole other
matter.
Yeah,
well, as an American Indian, I'm just offended by that. Don't you know? No, but I do. I resent that. You know, I'm not going to go chop anybody's head off for trying to lie, but, you know, as an American Indian, I do. I am not happy with that one at all. They did not discover America. Sorry.
Yep. No, I agree with you there. Nothing that they can ever present will convince me of that, and they do not have our history in mind. It's another one of their civilization jihad infiltrations, you know, into our school books. But let me kind of go on here. There's another article I found that was written this past March, How America Went Gay by Charles Sacre, I don't know, some guy who's an MD. Anyways, says, for more than 20 years, I and a few psychiatrists have felt like an embattled minority. Oh, he must be gay. Because we have continued to insist that gays aren't born that way. Homosexual revolution orchestrated. How did this change come about? Well, the revolution did not just happen. It was all part of a plan. As one gay publication put it, quote, to make the whole world gay. Wow. Okay, let's see. There's a caliphate that wants to make us Islamic. Now there's a homosexual revolution to make us all gay. Well, it kind of fits, doesn't it? Because if you think about the Bocce Boys, in Islam, that are the boys, they dress up as girls and they make them dance and they sell them, and so that's their what's the word I want to call it, their hidden homosexuality that is acceptable, yet homosexuals are murdered and killed and hung and tormented and in Islam. So at the end of the day, they have their dirty little secrets by way of selling these little boys. And if you think about it, going back to the madrasas, there's a whole strategic plan that they have tried to inflict on us. And if you think about it, where was Obama in his early years? He was in the all-male madrasas. Something I read or something I heard, maybe it was in a YouTube or something, said, gee, if you grew up in madrasas where all you got was raped from the time you were a little boy, and you were raped by anyone from an uncle, a second cousin, some family member first, wouldn't you want to be a jihadi and blow yourself up? Would you want to continue living? The other part of this is, you know, I guess I have to ask the question, and I was going to ask it at the beginning. Lucha, here's a question for all of them. Muslims, when are you going to be tired of being angry? When are you going to be tired of being so angry at anybody and everybody outside of your faith? Anger takes so much effort, so much energy to be angry. But golly, look at the lifestyle you've led. And I'm guessing that's what makes you so angry. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of the anger comes from the fact that they may not like Islam, but they're forced to be in it, because if they leave it, it's apostasy and they get a death sentence. So I'm thinking that there are an awful lot of Muslims who don't like being forced to be a Muslim and to lead the lifestyle that they're living, but what is the alternative? To maybe get a death sentence if they leave it? Well, there are a lot of Muslims who have left it, you know, and plus all the rules that come along with Islam. You know, they have rules for everything, for even what foot you leave the bathroom with. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, to live. I mean, here in America, with all these regulations the government is putting on us, you know, we're getting tired of this, and we're getting angry, and we're getting upset, and, you know, it's strangulating businesses. And think of the millions of rules in Islam that it's making their life miserable. And Islam is miserable itself. I mean, you know, I was going through this article, just these little news headlines, you know, Brotherhood supporters beat child on video, family castrates unwanted son-in-law, six die in Ramadan charity stampede, court orders leg for a leg amputation. Latest victim is 33rd gay murdered in Yemen. Devout Muslim terrorist sues U.S. over religion. Girl kills herself after father beats her for not wearing a hijab. Islamists riot in support of genocide. Woman stoned to death for having a cell phone. And I want to read something about an article about that. 5,000 children dead in Syrian's war. Taxpayers forced to fund terrorists bid to stay in UK. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Thief's finger amputated by Morsi supporters. The Jews, this is what really ticked me off. The police in Israel catered to Muslim violence and banned Jews from the Temple Mount. Now, I'm upset with Israel over that one. Those police should not have done that. You know, terrorists brutally torture ex-Sunni for deciding to be Shia. Al-Qaeda plans to declare Syria an Islamic state. Muslim mobs force Christian families to flee. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It just goes on. And so no wonder they are miserable. Spiritual leader found guilty of mass killing and rape. Muslim Brotherhood document calls for bloodshed. You know, all it is about blood, 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 and more blood. And this woman that was stoned to death for having a cell phone, this was just on Jihad Watch. from the Asian Human Rights Commission. The headline reads, Pakistan, a young woman stoned to death for having a cell phone after ruling by a panchayat, I don't know how to pronounce it, which is a tribal court. Arifa, a mother of two, has been stoned to death on the orders of panchayat for possessing a cell phone. She was executed on July 11th in the district of Dera Ghazi Khan in Punjab province. The victim was stoned to death by her uncle and relatives on the orders of panchayat, that's a tribal court, after she was found to have a mobile phone. According to media reports, her uncle, cousins, and other relatives threw stones and bricks at her until she died. She was buried without informing anyone. Police registered a first information report against the panchayat, but no one has been arrested. She was buried in a desert far away from her village, and nobody, not even her children, was allowed to participate in the funeral. Her husband is unknown. What was her crime? Having a cell phone.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, if I lived in a society that allowed this, even if I considered myself a Muslim, and I saw that there was stoning to death of a woman for having a cell phone, I would feel, you know, like, I mean, you know, just playing the devil's advocate and putting myself, say, in a so-called moderate Muslim shoes. Maybe I call myself a Muslim, but I don't really, you know, subscribe to the Sharia law. But if I saw a story like this, and then if I saw other stories of atrocities that are happening in the Islamic world, I would be mad. So to answer your question, you know, Eliza, no wonder there's so much rage in the Islamic world. And probably a lot of what they're mad at is Islam itself, only they don't know how to identify it. They don't know how to identify that their rage is really at Islam. Instead, since they can't get mad at Islam, because that might be a death sentence for them, they get mad at everybody else. I don't know.
Very good points. Very good points. Yep. I just, the more I write into any of these articles, you know, every week, it's just like there's so much rage, so much anger. I would just be, I'd be tired from all the anger for so long. You know what I mean? And, you know, the other, I'm getting off topic, but the other thing I got to thinking about, it's like, we have so many of these psychologists, these TV psychological evangelists, I don't know how to call them, you know, these ones that are on TV, I can't even think of any other names now, but they're all on TV trying to psychoanalyze, you know, what's going on in the world. But, you know, where are they in addressing all of this anger? You'd think that would be like their key thing to go after. It's like, oh, I can make money on that. Just, you know, get rid of the anger on it. I don't know. Just a thought. Anyways, let me play something. I want to get back to this whole normalization. I found an Ann Barnhart. I'm going to just play a little clip from a thing that she had talking about how it all links with Islam trying to infiltrate us. One second. Let me play this.
They're trying to normalize pedophilia through the American Psychological Association. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they had a meeting in Baltimore. They are taking the initial steps to remove pedophilia from the American Psychological Association's Manual of Disorders, the same way they did with homosexuality in, I believe it was 1973. They are looking to do exactly the same thing right now with pedophilia. They want to normalize pedophilia. The new meme that they're going to use is minor attracted persons. Why are they doing this? Because if you have Sharia law in this country, and Hillary Clinton in the UN, they're trying to do all this, okay? You have to clear the deck for pedophilia because child rape and child marriage is a core plank of Islam. They're trying to clear the deck from it, and they're a bunch of Marxist bastards too. And they just want to destroy any notion of morality that they possibly can. So when people said, look, if we let this homosexuality thing get into our culture, Katie bar the door, man, they weren't kidding. Here we are. We're only a few months removed from this homosexual marriage nonsense going on. Now we have moving to normalize pedophilia. Next will be incest, because incest is huge in Islam. Bestiality is huge in Islam. It's all going to go. And it's these things are all starting to happen as well in Europe. There are movements in Europe already to legalize incest and to legalize bestiality. You fight or you die. That's your choice.
Fight or you die. That's why I played what I played at the beginning. And that's why I play the song I normally play at the beginning. Got to stand up and stand against this. This is an infiltration that silently creeps in and takes over. There's also a clip I wanted to play where they have found, let me see here, a family. They were being, I think it was like sixth graders, being taught that two daddies were just a good thing. Let's see if this is it. I think this is it.
Hello, I'm Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. As you know, the California State Legislature passed and Governor Jerry Brown signed SB 48 into law. Under this new law, beginning next January, public schools will be required to teach children as young as five not only to accept, but also to endorse transgender, bisexual, and homosexual identity and behavior. What could that look like for parents and children? We only have to look at what has already happened in Massachusetts for a preview of coming attractions.
Beginning in 2005, our son Jacob was going into kindergarten, and he came home with a diversity book bag. And in the diversity book bag was a book entitled Who's in a Family by Robert Scutch, and that introduces children to same-sex households.
Back in March of this year, our son came home Friday afternoon and bounded in the front door and said, Mom, Dad, guess what? Our teacher read us the funniest book. It was so silly. It was about a prince who was getting married, but he didn't marry a princess. He married a prince. That afternoon, we sent the teacher an email message. The teacher called back and said that, yes, it was a book about two princes who got married. King and King, it's a story that introduces the idea of men having a romantic relationship and getting married.
Hmm.
We were shocked.
And your son is how old?
He's 7 years old in second grade.
And they read this book to him?
Yes, in the formal classroom setting with his teacher as an authority figure presenting this concept of something that is good and right and the way things should be.
After the diversity book bag came home, we realized that the intention of the administrators and teachers was to affirm these relationships and gay marriage in the minds of children. When we went into the school, what we requested is parental notification when these issues are brought up by adults within the school and the option to opt our child out of this type of indoctrination.
And then she said, well, she had checked with the administrators and they had said that this was not a parental notification issue.
One of the reasons they give is they said same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts. Therefore, we can broach it anytime with your child.
So when she would not acknowledge our parental rights in this area, we then went to our Judeo-Christian beliefs and our faith and said, well, you wish to affirm homosexuality to our son. You're presenting that which is sin as though it is not to our son, and we cannot allow that.
And I said, I'm prepared to sit here all night until I see some form of accommodation as a parent. To make a long story short, the accommodation they gave was to put me in handcuffs and send me to jail.
I couldn't believe that they were willing to arrest my husband because my husband and I just want a parental notification. We want to raise our children to know God, and God has blessed us with the sacred responsibility to raise them for Him, to know Him, and to know His truth.
And they were willing to handcuff a father and send him to jail. It was a 6x8 cell, filthy. But, you know, I felt I didn't have a choice at that point in order to fulfill my role and duty as a father.
What has happened to these parents and children is unthinkable.
Absolutely unthinkable. But as I said, if we start to normalize it, then it becomes second nature, and gee, Oh, somebody got their, oh, the neighbor's child got raped. Well, that's okay because, what, that's just a lifestyle, right? And, gee, oh, sorry. Sorry to hear it, but, gee, just another day in the life, right? That is abhorrent behavior. That is terrible. That is a society I am not happy to live in. So, folks, we need to stand up and fight against this. This is not. We've already gotten rid of DOMA, so, you know, it's okay to be homosexual, and now it's going to be okay to be a pedophile, and we won't have to have criminals, pedophilia, criminals register, and you can live around schools. You can be around child care facilities. It's all okay. Really? It's okay, you know? Well, guess what? They're going to end up being our teachers. They're going to be okay. Oh, sorry, got a message in the chat room. Anyways, so this is something, and what I really want everybody to understand is the homosexuality, as much as Islam supposedly hangs anybody who's a homosexual, they promote it. But here's the weird part about it. Okay, Holger, I gotcha. Let me get through this a minute. He's ready to fight back. I appreciate it. Anyways, here's the weird part about it. The Quran, my voice is going out on me again. 7:80-84, for ye practice your lusts on men in preference to women. Ye are indeed a people transgressing beyond bounds. Yet, Quran 7:81, blah, 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 blah. According to the Arabic grammar, homosexuality is called the worst sin, while references elsewhere describe other forms of non-marital sex as being among great sins. Okay, so now we go back and we identify these bachabazi boys. Go out to see YouTube. It's pretty disgusting. It's no wonder I get depressed watching and reading this stuff. But for years, they call them the dancing boys. And the reason that they can justify the homosexual behavior with these young boys, and this was something I learned on all of this, they call them the handsome, that they're beardless. They take them as sex slaves. It's all over the Islamic world, and they're trying to bring it here. Look at all the rapes. Look at all the violence that has been happening. I've been trying for a week now to find statistics to give you how the crime rate has increased over the last few years, but I haven't been able to find and put it together just yet, but I will. They are taking these boys as sex slaves, and they call them, they're hand-picked. Even the Prime Minister of Afghanistan's Hamid Karzai actually allows this pimping and human trafficking of poor young boys to devout Muslims to gang rape them. And that's after they make the boys wear women's clothing and dance for them. Truly disgusting. Apparently it was part of the movie and the book, The Kite Runner. Never saw the book or read the book or saw the movie. But let me read on a little bit. For centuries, Afghan men have taken boys roughly 9 to 15 years old as lovers. Some research suggests that half the Pashtun tribal members of Kandahar and other southern towns are bachabazi, the term for an older man with a boy lover. Literally, it means boy player. The men like to boast about it. Quote, having a boy has become a custom for us. A 42-year-old in Baghlan province told a Reuters reporter, whoever wants to show off should have a boy.
Oh, and I have a side comment to that because, Eliza, I want to thank you for sending me the Anne Barnhart videos because I watched them not too long. As a matter of fact, I still have them up. I had watched them before a long time ago, but then I watched them again today. Just absolutely awesome. anybody who doesn't know Ann Barnhart, y'all, she is just absolutely awesome. And she mentioned in one of the videos, there's four of them in this series, that there was a fatwa issued about the Bachabazi boys. I guess there was a Thursday night meeting or a Thursday night male orgy club or something that they do. I think it was in Afghanistan. I'm not sure, though. But it was a Thursday night get-together thing where, you know, the men and the boys had their little orgies. And so some imam, some Islamic cleric or something, and she made it a point to say that, you know, in Catholicism, you know, there's a pope, there's a central figure, that even if priests or whoever in Catholicism get something wrong, there's always a central figure to say, no, 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 that's not right. But there's nothing like that in Islam. You know, imams are their own popes, and they can issue fatwas, you know, just at the drop of a hat. There are so many fatwas issued. And so this Islamic cleric, whoever he was a homosexual imam, that's what he was. And he issued a fatwa that said, I cracked up when I heard this, that said that Allah is busy on Thursday nights, so he doesn't see what you are doing on Thursday nights. So if you want to get together, you know, and have your little orgies, then it's okay to on Thursday nights because Allah is busy and he won't see you. Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
That's what was said, yes.
Kind of like Thursdays are open mic night, huh? Yeah.
Oh.
You know, and they live by these things. They take them as gospel. I guess is not the right word for it, but oh, my God. You know? They've got, oh, here, speaking of fatwas, let's add to the humor. Fatwa bans men from being alone with, quote, handsome young boys. This came out just this past April. How far will Muslims go in their attempts to follow as literally as possible the teachings of Islam, especially the many countless and colorful fatwas that appear from their ulema? That is, the ones who know, the scholars of Islam. Many are aware that Islamic law bans men and women who are not married or related from being in each other's company. Recently, however, a Saudi cleric, Sheikh Abdullah Daoud, took it a step further on live Arabic TV by repeatedly declaring that, quote, of course, I don't have the Arabic version, it is forbidden to be around handsome youth, those beardless boys who have a touch of temptation in them.
Oh, my goodness. Yuck.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And on the Elder of Zion, we've got some of the weirdest fatwas of 2011. Remember the one, and I know y'all have to remember this, that women are prohibited from eating phallic-shaped fruits and vegetables like cucumbers, bananas, and carrots. Okay.
I remember that one.
And the one about men can have sex with their just deceased wives.
Oh, yes.
And the one about...
They have 6 hours that they can still have sex with them.
Oh,
wasn't
my
it six
goodness.
Hours? I think they have 6 hours that they can have sex with their dead whatever, their wife, their girlfriend, whatever it is. Unbelievable.
And in Egypt, religious edicts were in most cases mixed with politics. Sheikh Amr Sutuhi, head of the Islamic Preaching Committee at Al-Azhar, and I know this isn't our subject, but it's nice to smile. In November, he issued a fatwa prohibiting fathers from marrying their daughters to members of the formerly ruling National Democratic Party.
What? Say that again?
He was the head of the Islamic Preaching Committee at Al-Azhar, and he issued a fatwa prohibiting fathers from marrying their daughters to members of the formerly ruling National Democratic Party because of their corruption.
Wow. Well, I did find a few statistics. Child sexual assault and rape, U.S. statistics, 15% of sexual assault and rape victims are under age 12. 29% are age 12 to 17, 44 under age 18, 80% are under age 30. Girls age 16 to 19 are four times more likely than the general population to be victims of rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault. 7% of girls in grades 5 through 8 and 12% of girls in grades 9 through 12 said they had been sexually abused. Think about all the immigration we've got here, folks, and what that means. 3% of boys grades 5 through 8 and 5% of boys in grades 9 through 12 said they had been sexually abused. 1995 local child protection services agencies identified 126,000 children who were victims of either substantiated, indicated sexual abuse. Of these, 75% were girls. Nearly 30% of child victims were between the age of 4 and 7. 93% of juvenile sexual assault victims know their attacker. 34.2% of attackers were family members. 58.7% were acquaintances. 7% of the perpetrators were strangers to the victim.
Wow.
You know, I wish I could have related it all real specifically to Islam, but you got to believe, based on their fundamental beliefs, their Quran, their system, that this is okay, that this is where it's all coming from. It has increased. It has increased. And we are at war with more than just it, all of the countries that are promoting it. We are at war with it within our own country. We've got a normalization, let's see, a culture of violence and rape. How the normalization of rape perpetuates inequality and injustice. Desensitization, sorry, I'll learn to speak here in a minute, surrounding rape and sexual abuse seems to continuously invade our lives. It's in the TV shows and movies we watch, in the songs we listen to, and it's even woven into everyday speech, as if it weren't a horrifying crime that affects millions of women and men in the U.S. alone. While some may think a rape joke is harmless or a TV show graphically depicting a sexual assault is just interesting television, the prevalence and normalization of sexual violence in our daily lives has very serious consequences. I totally agree. Namely, it furthers the perpetuation of a culture of violence and rape in which the sexual objectification and dominance, keyword dominance, of women is just the norm. Folks, think about how this all relates to Islam, what it's doing, where it's coming from, what it's promoting. Here's the other thing. Here's another link for it that I hadn't even thought about either. Okay, so far it's still a crime. We're putting these folks in jail, in prisons. What are these people doing? They're converting to Islam. You know why? Because it's acceptable and because they are praised for it. Had you thought of that link? British rapists and pedophiles converting to Islam in prison. Just like, what was his name? Oh, Chucky Holmes. Converted to Islam because he was praised for killing infidels. Wow, I'm getting angry. Unbelievable, isn't it, Lucha? Just unbelievable. The linkages and the paths that these idiots go down and the infiltration that is coming. So the prisons now are filled with all kinds of converts to Islam because they're given the okay. They're given forgiveness once they get in prison for the crime that they commit, and everything's okay.
Well, I think there should be, you know, I am not a believer in segregation of, you know, I mean, back in the slavery days and even in the 50s here in America, we had segregation, and I'm not a believer in segregation per se, but as far as Muslim prisoners go, I think that there should be prisons where there are only Muslims so that they cannot convert other prisoners. I just do. And it's interesting what you brought up, because going back to the Anne Barnhart series, you know, I kept a couple of the screenshots up so I could read them. Mm-hmm. And her in the and I just posted the link to him in the chat room. And Anne Barnhart is right. In the first screenshot, Islam was designed to A, enrich Muhammad, B, rally an army, C, facilitate and legitimize his sexual perversions. And she went on to talk about that. And that's basically what it is. Because what happened when Muhammad became, you know, when he started out in his little, you know, Islamic quest, because he was rejected. They rejected him. He wanted to be somebody. So Islam basically did enrich Muhammad. He did rally an army, and it did facilitate and legitimize his sexual perversions. And in the second screenshot on part two, she gives a couple quotes from Quran 2:282 and Bukhari 301:1. And this is what Islam, you know, we talk about what Islam is doing to women and the victims of Islam. And,
right.
And we know what Islam, I mean, women are nothing in Islam.
Chattel.
Me, but,
we are chattel to be traded and bartered.
We're not.
No, we aren't.
I will die before I would ever let myself be treated that way. I would kill myself. Shoot. But this screenshot that I have is, this is part of their own words. Says, once Allah's apostle said to a group of women, and I'm assuming this is Muhammad, give alms, as I have seen that the majority of the dwellers of hellfire were you women. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you. The women asked, oh, Allah's apostle, what is deficient in our intelligence and religion? He said, is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man? They replied in the affirmative. He said, this is the deficiency in your intelligence. Isn't it true that a woman can neither pray nor fast during her menses? Okay, so this is part of Islam. This is what they think of women. And what's that surah that says, you know, women are your fields, go in and plow them whenever you want? Those aren't the exact words, but it's basically what it's saying. And then we all know who Ayatollah Khomeini is. And this is in the part four of Anne Barnhart's series where she had a screenshot that I kept up because I wanted to read it. And so these are Ayatollah Khomeini's words, and he is still the spiritual leader of Iran. You know, even though we've had Ahmadinejad as the president, it's still the mullahs and the spiritual leaders who rule Iran.
Right.
So these are his words. This first one is from his book, don't know how to pronounce it, Tahrir Olva Saleh, fourth volume, Daryl Elm, Qom, Iran, 1990. He says, this is about bestiality. A man can have sex with animals, such as sheep, cows, camels, and so on. However, he should kill the animal after he has his orgasm. He should not sell the meat. Yeah, yeah. He should kill the animal after he has his orgasm. He should not sell the meat to the people in his own village. However, selling the meat to the next door village should be fine. Excuse me? So it's okay to have sex with sheep, cows, camels, and so on, but don't sell the meat after you deposit your stuff into this animal. Don't sell the, you know, I mean, this is the tribal stuff that's in Islam. Don't sell that meat to your own village. You wouldn't want to do that to your own village, but, you know, sell it to the village next door, you know. They won't know. Then, I know, this is the Ayatollah Khomeini, the spiritual leader of Iran. And in his, this is another quote from him, the little green book, Sayings of Ayatollah Khomeini, political, philosophical, social, and religious, ISBN number, blah, 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 page 47. He says, quote,
we've got, hold on, we've got Green Dog going la 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 la. Go ahead.
Okay, you might want to plug your ears for this one,
plug
then,
your ears
Green Dog.
For a little bit, yeah. This is all facts, guys. It's all facts.
Yes,
so,
this is the Ayatollah Khomeini. He says, quote, if one commits the act of sodomy with a cow, a ewe, or a camel. Excuse me for saying this, but, you know, this is Islam. their urine and their excrement become impure, and even their milk may no longer be consumed. The animal must then be killed and as quickly as possible and burned. So it's okay to, you know, commit an act of sodomy with a cow, a ewe, or a camel. You know, go ahead and have sex with them. But, you know, but then this is what I don't get. But then their urine and their excrement become impure, and even their milk may no longer be consumed, so they must be killed and burned. Okay, now what that tells me is that the cow and the ewe and the camel, these animals are pure until they are sodomized by a Muslim. Is that what this is saying?
I'm trying not to think too deeply on it. I'm afraid I think I'm going with Green Dog. La, 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 la.
Okay, well, that was the end of it, so that was all. But going back to the, you were talking about the rape jihad thing. And there is an article from the one and only Pamela Geller from Atlas Shrugs.
Yep.
I'm posting it in the chat room now, and I have very much learned how to type and post and talk at the same time. So, I'm getting good, shoot. So we have it going on in Seattle. There was an article last month. The Washington State Muslim raped a 12-year-old girl he claimed was dressed provocatively. You know, so the rape jihad is starting to occur here in America. And the article said, you know, on any given night in Seattle, there are, oh, dang, I hate it when these advertisements pop up and you didn't even do anything. You know, the article says on any given night in Seattle, there are 1,000 young people with no safe place to sleep. It's estimated that 1 in 3 of them will be lured into prostitution within 48 hours of leaving home. The next thing you know, they're in someone's home who is requiring this of them for a safe place to sleep. And from there, the dark path begins, said Melinda Giovengo, executive director of youth care. It happened to a 16-year-old girl in West Seattle. She was kicked out of her house, and a friend said she could stay with her and 32-year-old Yusuf Abdul at an apartment in Seattle. Investigators said Abdul made the girls have sex with different men 3 to 7 times a day and drugged them with marijuana, ecstasy, and methamphetamine. The victim told police Abdul would sleep near the door of the apartment with a gun and told her there would be a price to pay if she tried to leave. And this is what happens in Islam. And to be fair, people out of Islam are doing prostitution too. But this is a, now I don't, is it Harbinger or Harbinger?
Harbinger, I think.
Harbinger. Of things to come here in America. And we've got a man calling himself Obama in the White House that is promoting this. He is promoting the Muslim Brotherhood. And he is promoting Islam here. And he is facilitating the transfer of immigrants here. Pretty soon we're going to get refugees from Syria if we're not already getting them. So, you know, we've got all this immigration coming in, thanks to Obama, who should be in federal prison, by the way. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And we need to stand up, peeps. We do.
Well, you know what? You mentioned Obama and the White House and federal prison all in one breath. And you know what? I'm almost of the opinion that since we've got so many that are in the White House that should be in prison, why don't we just build a great big prison around the White House and just let them stay in it, and then we'll just build a brand new White House that has some kind of conservative values. Just put the fence around it, just so they can't get out. They think it's so great being in the White House, doing what they're doing. We'll just make that their prison. You know,
well, Michelle Obama said that living in the White House was like being in a prison. So, you know, well, let's make it real for her.
Good. Let's just keep her there then, but not give her any value and not give her – let's treat her like they do, like Muslims do all other women. Since her husband's promoting Islam and since it's such a great thing to be, why don't we give her the same status that other Islamic women? Let's put the burqa on her. Let's have her peeking out of a little jail cell of eyeballs to try and promote who she is and what she is. Let's see how she would like that. I bet she'd like that really well, don't you think? I think she'd look really good in a burqa.
Yeah, she'd look a lot better, I'll tell you that, because some of the pictures I've seen of her are horrific. And I know this doesn't have anything to do with the subject, but I want to bring it up because it's not talked about in the media at all. So I do want to bring it up. There is some good news where it's going to go. I don't know if it goes anywhere. But as far as Obama's birth certificate, his forged birth certificate issue is going, it is getting some interest in Congress. Representative Steve Stockman of Texas and others and the World Tribune has reported that it's 100% forgery. Of course, Mike Zullo, the lead investigator of this birth certificate, has found that it's a forgery. So this birth certificate issue is becoming known in higher up echelons in Congress. And please, people, let's pray that this goes somewhere.
Yes. Let's hope it goes somewhere before he gets the full next 4 years in or 3 years in.
Oh, gosh. Yep.
And I'm trying to walk and chew gum here. So Holdred said he's got an article he'd like to read for us. So let me just see how long he needs to do that. He wanted to talk about the whole Zarnaev.
You know,
thank you. I can't talk tonight. What is the matter with me? I'm just like stumbling through. The Zarnaev brother that's was put on, what was it, Time Magazine? Or
Rolling Stones.
Sorry, Rolling Stone, rather.
Yes, they glamorized him on the cover of Rolling Stones magazine.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Let's see. All right. We'll give him time to do it if he wants to call in now. Come, go ahead and call in, Holger, if you want to read it to us now.
Yes, anyway. Holger. Wake up, Holger. Holger awakens. Wake up and call us. We're ready for you.
Well, I want to find out, too, if he's got his – is his show back on? He hasn't – I didn't see anything in the chat room. I may have missed it, but
– I think he typed that he was still waiting or something.
Okay. Why don't you do a shout-out while we're waiting for him to call in to everybody in the chat room?
Yes, we have had some new people come into the chat room. And anybody listening in archives, thank you for listening in the chat room. We've got Doc. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Eric from Iowa. Thanks for being here, Eric. Green Dog, a.k.a. Vorp. We've got a guest. Thank you for coming. Holger Awakens, who should be calling in any time now. My good friend, LSU, Jeff. Oh, Jeff, thank you for coming. I love you, man. Poppy from across the pond is here. Thank you, Poppy, the rabbi. Ariel Nachman is here. Thank you, Rabbi. Red Fox blogger of Infidels Are Watching, Kel, thank you. And Robert Ryan, a.k.a. Bob, thank you all for being here. We love you all. God bless you all. And hopefully Holger has awakened.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in the call-in yet. Two questions. Oh, wait a minute. I think that's him. Is this Holger?
Well, it sure is after, like, 9 tries on the phone.
Oh, well.
Every once in a while, this BTR, it rings and rings and rings and rings, and then you try again, and then you get a busy signal, and I don't know what the deal is.
It's
well,
NSA.
Just, I have so many people calling into the show, Holger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I put this blog post up about a half an hour ago or so, but now it's up to you, Eliza Jane. This is rather riffed with expletives. Okay. So
but go ahead.
If you don't want the F bomb and a few other goodies, and you know, perhaps we should. I should just warn the people listening in that if you've got kids in the room, move them out or turn down your sound and all that kind of good stuff. But what it
or
is,
or could
I'll,
you just maybe substitute like effin or?
No, I can't. It loses the effect. Okay.
Okay, I put the warning in. Kids in the room, turn down the sound.
I think the point of this is the reason I put this up is I think. It's refreshing for me to find somebody other than a blog talk radio host that gets pissed off nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sick of these politicians mm-hmm. who claim to get upset about things, but you would never tell it by their demeanor and stuff. So let me just read. I just got a little brief little lead-in on the blog post that I put. I said the title of the article is Rock Band Disturbed Lead Singer Guts Out Rolling Stone Magazine Over Jihadi Cover of Magazine. And then I wrote, first off, I've been a big fan of the band Disturbed since they put out their first CD, and believe me, today I'm even an even bigger fan of this band as their lead singer, David Draiman, absolutely massacred Rolling Stone magazine for their new magazine cover that features a photo of Boston bombing jihadi Jukar Tsarnaev. This is going up on my wall, baby. It's good to see a man who makes his living in the media, entertainment, music industry stand up to the freaks out there. As some of you at the blog today may notice that the video previous to this blog posting shows a video of Disturbed playing for our troops in Kuwait back in 2008. Damn good heavy rock and roll and American proud through and through. Rock on, Mr. Draiman, rock on. Now, here's what David Draiman wrote in regards to the Rolling Stone cover, wrote to Rolling Stone magazine. Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you strapped in?
I'm strapped in.
All right.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
David Draiman from the rock group Disturbed writes, "How far the mighty have fallen. I used to dream of making the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, as it used to be the ultimate statement of legitimacy for an aspiring musician. And it meant that you had really made it. Over the past 5 years, Rolling Stone has become less and less about music and has become more and more about bullshit pop culture nonsense. Even though many of us may not care for it, we were able to live with it. Until this. You dare to put the image of the Boston bomber on the fucking cover of your magazine.
Yep.
Are you out of your ultra-liberal, sympathetic to a fault fucking minds. You have not only succeeded in blatantly insulting and dishonoring the victims and families whose lives were forever affected by this rabid animal, but you have now glorified his cowardly and unforgivable act. Why? Because it will sell magazines? Because it will create controversy? Because you actually do sympathize with this abhorrent, cowardly piece of shit, you have made it attractive and validated the act to a whole new generation of wannabe terrorists seeking martyrdom and infamy. You and your kind are the reason why people think that they can go out in a blaze of glory while murdering innocents. Honestly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, go fuck yourselves. The next terrorist murdering incident, be it another bomber or a madman with an assault rifle unleashing fire upon a school full of children, is on you. May your consciences, if you even have them, weigh immeasurable heavy on you for the rest of your lives. I condemn this act, this notion, this worthless piece of shit effing rag of a magazine. May the powers that be have mercy upon your souls, because the next time something like this happens, I assure you, the world won't. Go to hell."
Wow.
And that's it.
Very nicely written.
You tell
him. He sounds a little PO'd, doesn't he?
I think so.
Well, I think it's more than just a little, but, you know, I'm right there with him. I stand side by side with him because I couldn't even look at the I saw the image this morning and the whole, you know, Rolling Stone, and it's like, are you kidding me? I couldn't even go any farther with it. Here's the thing that I really think we all need to realize, and this goes for any media that thinks that they're too big to listen. We all start turning them off. We all start tuning them out. They're not going to have any readership, any listeners, anything to say. Maybe at that point, they will finally wake up and realize what we truly want is some honest reporting and some truth on each of the stories and stories that matter.
Well, and I think what we're living with right now is when you talk about the media and stuff, so you talk about Rolling Stone magazine putting a picture of this guy on the cover of the magazine. You know, they are all pushing the envelope. They're mm-hmm. all pushing things just to see how far things can go in this country. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we've got the media. I mean, we've got television that's putting, you know, you talked about abnormalities. You talked about
yes.
homosexuality. I mean, we're talking
yes.
about homosexuals as central characters on primetime TV shows all the time now. We're
yep.
talking about, you know, we're talking about movies that celebrate homosexuality, that celebrate abortion and so forth. Magazines putting, you know, Sandra Fluck on the cover, you know, because celebrating the fact that she sleeps around every day, you know.
And we have to pay for her birth control.
You know, and I noticed that, let me just check it real quick here, because I was actually surprised. I noticed there's an article out that, God dang it. I can't find it. There's an article out, I saw it on the headlines of something, where Rolling Stone has already reacted to this pushback on this cover. And so this is what, oh, here it is right here. Let me just pull it up here real quick. Oh, good God, it's at the Huffington Post.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, the magazine defends Boston Bomber cover. Oh, okay. Well, I had a glimpse of hope that they would, you know, put something up, you know, like honorable and say, you know, God, you know, I guess, you know, we kind of goofed, you know. But, no, they defend putting that on the cover, so screw them.
Yep.
Well, you know, we have disproportionate representation in our nation. And what I mean by that is that, okay, liberals, you know, you've got the mainstream media owned by liberals, and it's pretty much state TV now, and they're offended by everything. Muslims are offended by every freaking thing that comes across that they don't like, okay? It is time for us to get offended. Us conservatives, and, I mean, generally conservatives tend to be Christians. We believe in God, and so we're too nice. And like Anne Barnhart said in the video, we are way too nice. It is time for us to start getting offended. It is time for us to start speaking up and telling everybody, wait a minute, I am offended that you are pushing homosexuality in our face that is going to kill our society in the next 50 years. I'm offended that you're killing babies that could be the next president of the United States. I'm offended that you're allowing Islam into this country that is going to do nothing but kill us and ruin our nation. I'm offended that you can't even question Obama's birth certificate. I'm offended that this man is in the White House who isn't even a natural-born citizen. I'm offended that you're shutting up about all this when you should be letting the whole world hear about it. I am offended that you don't even stand up for self-defense. You guys attacked. I mean, it was a jihad against George Zimmerman. You know, that there was a political point to be made, a couple of political points, which was the race thing and which was gun control. But it blew up in their faces because Zimmerman was found innocent of all charges. I am offended that you even put this on trial and made us go through this crap when there wasn't even charges to be brought against him in the first place. I'm offended by all y'all people in the streets rioting, hurting innocent people that have not done one damn thing to you. So we need to stand up, and we need to get as offended as they are and start making our voices heard, because the longer we keep quiet, the longer we keep being nice, you know, we're just going to let it roll right over us. We need to be as loud and as offended as they are. Dang it. That was my rant.
Well, and that Woo-hoo. Was awesome, and I agree 100% with that. You know, and you're 100% spot on, Lucia, because,
yep.
you know, we have been, you know, between the political correctness and the multiculturalism
and the diversity
and the white guilt and everything else in this country, you know, we've got basically people that, you know, normal everyday people that are afraid not just to stand up for what's right and speak the truth, but, you know, basically are afraid to express the way they feel. And what's happened is, you know, in this case, the Islamists have capitalized on this. They are playing that like a fiddle. And I bring up the point, do you remember when the guy shot up the Sikh temple over in Wisconsin?
Yep.
kill a number of people at a Sikh temple.
October, November or something, I think, right?
Yeah. So can you imagine if that would have been a mosque? Can you imagine if he would have shot dead 7 or 8 Muslims? I mean, we would still be paying the price for that. We'd still be, Keith
That's
Ellison
right.
would still be on the goddamn TV screaming
yep.
about it. They would just play that to the hilt. And so, I agree totally with Lucha's rant. As the fact is, who gives a crap anymore? I mean, does anybody really care? Who can care anymore what people think about them? I mean, you can't say anything right anyway. Good Lord! I mean, on the George Zimmerman case, I mean, if you come out in front of in support of Trayvon Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, you're basically pissing off all the Hispanics.
The white Hispanics, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I feel sorry, Pete, for people that are trying to walk this tightrope in America
Why live your life according to what other people think of you? I don't care what other people think of me. If you like me, fine. If you don't, bye. Have a good day. I don't care what you think of me. I think you guys are too. But I mean,
group hug.
Kumbaya.
I feel so warm and cuddly. No, but seriously, people live their lives according to what, especially politicians, are too dang worried about what other people think of them to stand up for what's right. And it's time to stand up for what's right. I'm not here, like I used to tell my boys, I have 2 sons that are, 30 and 32, but I'm a proud geezer. Anyway, I used to tell them, because I was a single mom, and I used to tell them, God did not put me here to be your best friend. God put me here to be your mother. And that's, so some of what I did was unpopular because they didn't like being told no. For example, I if they wanted to spend the night at someone's house, I would like to meet the parents and I would like to make sure that you're there that night. There's nothing wrong with that, but my boys didn't like, I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm here to be your mother. And that's what politicians need to do. Of course they have to make people like them and get votes and everything, but there comes a point when they need to stand up for their country. They need to honor their oaths to the Constitution, and it's time for them to stand up. It's time for them to be willing to lose their jobs, to stand up for the principles and the oath that they swore to the Constitution. It's time for them to stand up for America and tell the Muslims and tell CARE and the Muslim Students Association and anybody who has anything to say, the liberals, it's time for good, if there are any good politicians, good congressmen and good senators to say, these are my principles, this is what I'm standing by. If you don't like it, I'm sorry about that. Have a nice day.
Well, I know you're absolutely right, and I totally agree, and, we are so caught up in anybody who's out in the corporate world has to go through all of this diversity and political correctness training. I mean, literally training to make sure that you accept everybody you work with, everybody that you work around, and accept them, and you're kind, and you don't say anything bad, and there's no jokes, and there's none of this. It's like political crap, political correctness gone awry. And every time I ever had to attend one, it was the most biggest garbage and waste of time and waste of money for any corporation that they ever put on. And it's the political correctness that has got this country where it's at today, along with a few liberal leaders that we've been electing and putting in place, of course. But I'm telling you, it's like, stop being politically correct. I will not be politically correct. I'm tired of it. If I get persecuted for it, who knows? Maybe I'll get a lawyer and sue them. But at this point, we've got to save this nation. This nation has become so corrupt, and it was so good, and so, I was so blessed to be a part of it that I don't ever, and that's one of the, I was asked why I stand up and do what I do one time. I was in an interview, and they said, well, how do you become one of these people that stands up? And I said, well, for years I sat back and didn't know. I played stupid. I came home, and I did my yard work, I did my house cleaning, and I got up the next day and went to work again. And it became so, you know, meaningless. All of a sudden I realized I'm losing my country.
Yeah.
I'm losing my country.
Yeah.
And if we don't start waking everybody up, and I think that's what we're doing here.
But, and I think it's important to understand is this, and we talk about, you know, there's, you know, Jeff comes in here once in a while from East Anglian's EDL show.
Yep.
And obviously most of us are familiar with the English Defense League and what they're up against in Britain and so forth. But,
oh, yeah.
But when we think about them, when we think about Britain, we have to understand something. We have to understand that what the hold that Islam has taken in that country, the power that the Islamists have in that country with you know 8, 9, 10% of the population, and so forth. None of that would have been possible if that country hadn't drifted down the damn road of Marxism, socialism.
Exactly.
Years and years ago, because those are the politicians, the Marxist politicians, are the ones that are supporting the damn Muslims.
Yeah.
So bottom line is when America keeps going down this path, when America falls completely in line with that socialistic model, we're screwed. We're screwed. The EDL is screwed. I know they're not going to want to hear that, but they're screwed. It's too late. They let their country go down the tubes of Marxist socialism, and that's set up the Islamists. They've got a cakewalk. The reason they haven't taken over here, the reason they don't have Sharia from coast to coast here is because there still is, you know, an element of conservatism in this country that's holding the line. But when that finally breaks, we're done. It's over.
Well, that's
Eric,
why the immigration
from Iowa,
is so important, because they're bringing more and more of them in to be able to set up across this nation and be that infiltration that will change that.
And Eric from Iowa put in the chat room, which I completely agree with, they lost their faith in God. Only 4% go to church on Sunday. More go to mosque on Friday than church on Sunday. And we know that in Europe, you know, America, contrary to what Obama tried to make people think, is still a Christian nation. But we've lost a lot of it. We have taken God out of our society. And that's what is going to be our downfall. In Europe, it's already happened. There are many, many, many less Christians in Europe than there are in America. So what we need here in America, we need, and I'm not sorry to say, we need a Holy Spirit revival. Because the loss of God in a society, I mean, what's the difference between America and Europe? There are a lot more Christians that are willing to stand up for their faith here than there are in Europe. And you're right, Holger, it's Marxist, it's communist, it's fascism, but a lot of the reason for that is because they let themselves be overcome, and a lot of that is due to taking God out of their society. I mean, they banned Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer from even speaking there, and I hope their lawsuit goes somewhere. America, we need to hang on to our Christianity. We need to hang on to our roots. No matter what anyone says, our founding documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers, it is all rooted in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Judeo-Christian principles. And that's what this country is based on. And no one, we should let no one take that away from us.
But, you know, here's the thing that we've got to think about is how we do that, how we keep that going, is through education. I was downtown with Tom and team, and that's when we got the news that Janet Napolitano was stepping down, and we're all like going, hooray, hooray, and all of a sudden, you know, we went to the gal that was leading us through town, said, you know who Janet Napolitano is, right? No. And she was like, I would guess probably 30-ish. 28 to 30, and she said, who's that? And so we said, oh, well, she must have just gotten into the job. Is she new to it? I'm going, what? We have a population that is not educated in terms of what we've got today, where we came from, any of it. We have lost all of that education through our educational foundations because of everything from the unions to Islam coming in. So how we get there from what you just described, Luch, and I totally agree, we've got to get there, is through education. But we're dumbing down our people, our kids, and taking them down the Islamic path. We've got to stop doing that. The whole Common Core, I was listening on the way home tonight to a commentator out of Florida. She was saying that Common Core was being promoted and voted in Alabama, where they were setting racist standards. And racist standards to the point of the poor kids are considered a race, so we're going to give them lower standards. That way we can give them a better grade. So they look like they got a better grade, but they got lower standards to meet, because they'll never meet anything but lower standards, right?
Oh,
this is what we're doing to America. Oh, my God. It's like, are you kidding me? We're setting standards based on race, all written as part of Common Core. So how do we change and get people to wake up and to get their children educated and get them to understand the threats that we've got here? Even today, you know, I had a conversation with somebody at work. Said, you know what Sharia is, right? No. Mm-mm. Really?
Yeah, but Eliza Jane, you know, and this is I actually brought this up last night on Diane's show at the Freedom's Wings, was, you know, if we continue to try and educate idiots like that, you know, we're going to lose. You know, at some point in time, we have to say, okay, we got enough people in this country. We got enough people in America that get it. Okay? Yeah, you know, we would like to have 168 million people in this country be on our side against Sharia law, against Islamic takeover, against Marxist socialism. Sure, we'd like to have 168 million people on our side. But at some point in time, we're going to have to understand that, like in 1776, not exactly 72% of the people in America grabbed their musket and ran to the bridge in Concord. There was only a few.
Unbelievable.
So,
yep.
You know, my point is, we've got to educate people, but at the same time, we can't do it at the expense of time and effort. In other words, at some point in time, I think we have to convert from, okay, I give up on this 100 million people. They're never going to get it. We're never going to sway them. Screw them. Leave them alone. Let them drift off to wherever they want to go and stuff. We've got to concentrate on the people that we have. We've got to train them. We've got to educate those people. We've got to get them fired up. We've got to organize. We've got to do the right things to fight this menace. And if we only got 10 million people, we only got 10 million people.
But, Holger, those are the folks that are voting. Those are the ones, you know, that are led astray and just basically led into the voting booth and told what to put down because they don't know what anything any different. Those are the ones we've got to win over and start educating and get them to understand. Because if we can condense the ones we've already got, we're wasting our time on them. We need to get the other ones, too.
Well, you know,
we've lost this politically. Politically, we've lost. I mean, you can't turn this thing around politically. We're going to have 60% of the population who's going to be dependent on the government very soon down the line. I mean, forget it.
I know.
Okay. Well, I've often thought about setting up a stand. If I can get my dang printer to work, you know.
Well, buy you a new printer.
Anyway, I've often thought about, and if I can get out of my house, about going and, you know, going to schools. You know, okay, because, I mean, what chance would we have of trying to get into a public school, elementary, junior high, or high school, and giving a talk about Islam? Well, but what about having a stand on a public sidewalk outside of a school with some pamphlets about Islam, you know, and have a big sign out there, you know, saying the truth or saying some kind of provocative statement to get the students coming out of high school, you know, to come over to your booth or to where you are. And, you know, Obama gets to the children. Well, let's us get to the children.
Well, the school boards won't come and listen to you because they were invited to Claire and Tom. The law enforcement won't listen to you because they were invited to Claire and Tom. The local legislators were invited. They didn't come. The federal marshals.
The kids.
Well, we invited children too. We invited probably 1,000 people, and we got very few. We got a few people that I was very happy with.
Well, what about going to their schools
as
they're getting out of schools?
Then they'll accuse you of hate mongering. Then they'll end up arresting you.
I don't care.
Okay.
Me for what? If I'm on
when
a
do you
want to
do
sidewalk,
it? I'm with you.
If I'm on a public sidewalk. No, seriously. If I'm on a public sidewalk and I have a little seat with some information, you know, saying the truth, what's really going on in America, say, I don't know. I haven't had time to think of a catchy phrase yet. But what's really going on in America? And I'm on a public sidewalk, not on the school property, but if I'm on a public sidewalk and I have a little, you know, place where I am and what's really going on in America. And any students that come over, you know, come and talk to me and I'll talk to them, hand out pamphlets. What could they arrest me for? Seriously.
Go for it. Go for it, Lucha. Go for
well,
it.
Well, you know, what did they arrest George Zimmerman for?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they didn't originally until.
Oh,
Obama
I know, but they'll find a way to get you arrested.
That's right.
Well,
that's
then
right.
Arrest me. I would rather be arrested and die than no. to, you know, give in and give up.
No,
and,
what you
and,
do is
and,
you go as a crowd, you go and set up a little table, you go as multiple people so that you can, you know, have some witnesses. You got to have witnesses, you got to have cameras, and you've got to have microphone or hidden mics so that you can record it all.
Oh,
that's
true. That's true.
Yep.
That is true.
And then you've
okay.
got a law case to be able to fight it, to be able to say, I'm sorry, I'm freedom of speech. Yeah. But
yeah.
Anyways, we are being infiltrated. We are being asked to be diversity and inclusion. Bullshit. This nation is under attack in so many, so many ways. So...
Eric from Iowa says to send them to his classroom. He'll sort them out.
There you go. Can do. Can do. So, Holger, when are you coming back on? Do you have any ETA yet or no?
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to do my War on Islam show probably the first or second Saturday in August, and I'll probably have a show, maybe even a couple. You know, before that, I've had a couple shows here in the last week and a half and stuff, so kind of impromptu.
How are we
going to
know? How are we going to know? How can we find out? How do you send out anything? Because
well,
every
just
once
follow
in a while...
just follow the show, and you'll get an email when I got a show coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I got to do that. I haven't done that yet.
But I'll come when I get the War on Islam show set in for August. I'll stop in the chat here and give you guys a couple weeks warning on that and let you know.
Good.
All right. Thanks
Thank
for letting
you.
Me sit in. That was fun.
Yep, I enjoyed it too.
Thanks Alrighty. For being here,
great,
Holger.
All right.
Great show, ladies.
Thank you.
All
great
right.
call, Holger.
I want to also, Rabbi Nachman had said he's got a book that he's published. I want to get that in before the end of the show. I saved his link from earlier in the show for Rabbi, so please check that out as well. What else have we got? We've got, you want to say some final goodbyes and then I'll say some, Lucha?
Well, to our people in the chat room and to anyone listening in archives, thank you so much for joining us. Eric, Vorp, we've got a couple guests now, Holger, Jeff, Poppy, the Rabbi, Ariel Nachman, and Kel, Red Fox Blogger of Infidels Are Watching. Thank you guys so much for being here. We love you all, and let's take back our nations.
Yes, and I know you're all on the same side we're on. Whoops, I can't spell either. Thanks, everyone. I didn't put the E on it in the show. Anyways, my fingers are not doing any better than my tongue is, I guess. But I wanted to just say thanks, everybody, for joining. Really enjoyed the call-in, Holger. It was great to have you call in and chat with us. And we will get through this. We will save this nation, and it will be ours. And I'm going to close with this, one of my favorites.